Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, I'm surrounded by birthday gifts, which is kind of fun. We'll get to that after, as the guy surprised me. But Sean Grandy has been in San Antonio, in Milwaukee, in Toronto in the last 72 hours and is soon headed overseas. So I figured, why not throw in a network radio interview? Are you actually awake?
I'm almost constantly awake. Wouldn't life be great if you could just stay awake? Think of the work you could get done.
Seriously. I hope you can sleep on planes.
Yeah, if it's early in the morning, yeah, you don't have any choice. It's hard when you go the other way because I can sleep on the plane, but then you land in Europe and you're wide awake and everybody else is going to sleep. Yeah, it's a backwards life.
It is. You have one of those. All right, so we'll talk about that in your crazy travels coming up. But how much of tonight's lowest offensive output for the Celtics had to do with fatigue?
I think some of it. I think more of it has to do with the fact that it's more how were they sustaining any offensive output the last few weeks. That six-game win streak that they put together was conjured out of nowhere. I think I tweeted it a couple of days ago, but for the Celtics the last few weeks, this was less an NBA season than it was Jenga. That's really what this was. It was like you just keep pulling pieces out, and eventually the thing's going to fall apart, and you're going to lose back-to-back games. And even though, you know, they were in the game, obviously, in Milwaukee, but you know, I think big picture, you step back and you realize it's, you know, 5-6 of their 10-man rotation for these last few weeks, and they've still been hanging in and put a little scare into Toronto. And that's a big one for the Raptors tonight because the building, Amy, I got to tell you, it was tense in there. And, you know, the pressure is really mounting because all the things that everyone nationally has been saying about the Raptors, you know, they haven't been saying it in Toronto. Now they're starting to believe it. And you wouldn't believe the deal they made out of Kyle Lowry going to, you know, one thing for me to go to San Antonio for a day. Kyle Lowry goes down to see Villanova play, and it was the end of the world. You know, that was all they talked about all day today. But so I think the fear of what has happened the last few years in Toronto is certainly there. And, you know, hopefully for the Raptors' sake, that quells a little bit of it tonight. Now they don't have to worry about, you know, the number one seed over the last week.
Right, losing that. I'm wanting to get your opinion on the Raptors. However, let's talk quick about the Celtics' injuries. Terry Rozier was back. Kyrie Irving, obviously, still not. What is the prognosis for him?
I think it's, you know, the ubiquitous basketball activities that they're hoping that he and Marcus Smart can resume at some point, you know, in the next week or two, but there is nobody that holds out any, you know, there is Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart are not a part of the first round of the playoffs for the Celtics. They're going to have to beat Milwaukee or Washington or Miami without them. And that was going to be, you know, tough to do with them, but now without them, and I think, you know, Brad Stevens' focus, the Celtics' focus right now is getting Terry Rozier 100% again on the handle. Getting Al Horford a little bit of rest here over this last week, but getting a couple of games where you get Shane Larkin back and you have the team that is going to be the Celtics, the artists, you know, that will be representing the Celtics in the first round. You want to have a couple of games over these final four with that team together, and knowing that that's what, you know, come April 14th, Milwaukee, Miami, Washington, whoever it is, that's going to be your team.
I know Rozier didn't shoot well tonight, but how would you describe the second half of the season for him?
Breakthrough. And, you know, what's really fascinating is that all these guys are extraordinarily talented at this level. Confidence is usually the wild card. And it's that great catch-22. Confidence will earn you playing time, but playing time earns you confidence. So bringing young players along, especially on teams that are winning and that have depth, and the Celtics generally have, since Terry Rozier has been there. So he's had to figure out with a smaller role what it is he does well in the NBA. And, you know, the injuries, maybe now the Celtics will look back and say, you know, the Gordon Hayward injury and the Kyrie injury, these were all blessings because it gave Terry Rozier more chances to play and Jason Tatum more chances to play and Jaylen Brown the chance to play a leading role. But, you know, Terry Rozier has become invaluable. He had a very unique skill set coming out of Louisville, and it was not a popular pick. People may remember on draft night, the Celtics had their eyes set. Fans have their eyes set in different ways, and I think he has completely won people over and realized he's, you know, he's a very unique player that, you know, fits what the NBA game has become.
John Grandy's the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics, just off the team plane from Toronto and getting ready to head overseas. We'll talk about that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Please forgive me. You and I have this conversation. I know I can almost feel the annoyance when I'm going to bring it up, but any chance that Gordon Hayward returns for the postseason? I know. I'm sorry. You know, I just have to ask.
We're talking tonight about, and you know, the short answer, no, it's been no all along. And here's the, you know, the kind of the game within the game. All year, you've wanted to be able to tell the fans, listen, he's not coming back. He can't play. Don't use the Paul George injury. It's a bad example to try to compare it to. Gordon's happened later in the year. Paul George came back and played in some garbage time games when Indiana wasn't going to make the playoffs. But you've wanted to say all these things, but you haven't been able to come out and really definitively say it because you don't want Gordon Hayward to hear that. You don't want him to slow down one inch in his rehab. You want him rehabbing as if it could happen when realistically it can't. The funny thing is, the Celtics, after Friday night, assuming what I assume is that LeBron is going to go into Philadelphia and will the Cavs win and they get the 3 seed, wouldn't it be ironic if the Celtics, you know, if all the Gordon Hayward stuff started up again with the Celtics going back to Cleveland, which is, of course, where it happened on opening night. The Celtics haven't been back there since. It was a fluke of the schedule. The only Celtics game in Cleveland this year was that game on opening night, and now it appears that they're on the trajectory to possibly meet in the second round. So, but you know, the real answer is no. Is there a chance the Celtics were going to beat Houston when they were down 28 in the second quarter? Was there a chance they were going to beat OKC when they were down 6 with 20 seconds to go? The entire Celtics season has been doing things they weren't supposed to do. That said, I no one should have any realistic expectation that Gordon Hayward's going to play this year.
You just mentioned Cleveland and Boston maybe being slotted 2 and 3. However, the Sixers have won 12 in a row, and they now have the same record as the Cavaliers. In the time that you've seen Philly this season, how dangerous do you think they can be?
I probably was more impressed, Amy, with what they did tonight, because if you know how the NBA works, that was the dangerous game. They win the 11th straight. Then they have a back-to-back on the road trying to end the Pistons season and eliminate them. You don't have Saric. You don't have Joel Embiid. And those are the kind of games when you have a huge game coming up that it's like a look-ahead game. And when I glanced down in the middle of our game tonight, I saw them up 16-17 in the third quarter. I mean, the subset of this is tonight everyone was talking about Coach of the Year, Dwayne Casey and Brad Stevens. I think there are a lot of other guys in that conversation. Like Quinn Snyder has to be in it. Nate McMillan has to be in it. There's 7, 8, 9 guys. Nobody talks about Brett Brown. Nobody. When you realize what he has accomplished with this team to take them on this extraordinary jump. And, yeah, they're really talented. And, yeah, Ben Simmons is the rookie of the year. And no back-to-backs in the playoffs for Joel Embiid, even though he's been playing them anyway in the second half. So, you know, you have to look at Boston and Toronto and Cleveland because that's, you know, the smart money. And Sixers haven't been there. But, man, who wants to play them right now? That's just crazy athletic and dangerous.
And they're playing with house money because there aren't any expectations, which makes them even more dangerous. All right, so back to the Toronto Raptors. Last 2 years, they've had their run ended by Cleveland. They've just dropped 2 games against Cleveland in the last 2 weeks, and you just saw them tonight. What's different about this Raptors team from, say, a year ago or 2 years ago?
Every bit of skepticism about the Raptors is fair, and they have earned it because of what has happened. But 3 years ago, when Golden State got off to the crazy good start and they were putting up historic numbers, nobody wanted to believe that a team that played that way could win the championship because it hadn't happened before when what they were doing was historically dominant. And, of course, they went on to win. Toronto's had good regular seasons the last few years and had disappointments in the playoffs. Those regular seasons are nothing like the work that they have done this year. They have matched Houston and Golden State pretty much stride for stride in terms of the content of their work. They're, just like Cleveland's record is much better than it should be when you look at their content of their games, Toronto's record actually should be better than what it is. That's how dominant they have been. And the short answer to your question, which is too late for since I've already given you the long answer, the short answer is the bench. That's the difference, that there is no drop-off, zero, when they go to that bench. Listen, Van Vliet is not going to be sixth man. Obviously, Crawford, with the year he had, I'm sure is going to be sixth man. But, I mean, all year, the top 3 guys in net rating, which determines what happens to the players on the court, have been Steph Curry, Chris Paul, and Fred Van Vliet. That's how crazy he has been. He's going to get paid in the offseason. He's a restricted free agent. I love their bench. All that said, with adding to the angst, is that the Raptors are not playing their best right now. Every team has that little funk. The Celtics certainly have. Every team has had it. Golden State with the injuries. Just about every team but Houston has had one during the year, and Toronto's having it now. That said, I just don't think if you watch the game, it's fair to compare them to the Raptors of years past because they've changed the style in which they play. They have so many guys who can shoot the three, so dangerous. And that bench, old school says, well, you can't play eight guys and win in the NBA. Old school said you can't play the way Golden State plays and win. They're going to play 10 guys, and they're gonna have success.
The Raptors have now tied their franchise record for wins as well with 56. Sean Grandy with a brief sojourn in Boston. Fresh off the Raptors-Celtics game, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so we have a couple of minutes left. Really quick, best thing you saw at the Final Four, not your girlfriend.
Well, I would say this. When you find yourself in an environment in which you're hanging out with Charles Barkley and Jim Nantz, and then you're watching them as they stand next to you and go out on stage and start moshing before they introduce Adam Levine and Maroon 5, sometimes you find yourself in a three-dimensional reality show. And you say, what on earth is happening here? And I had a great conversation. I had not, of all the people I've met in all the years in business, I had met Jim Nantz before. We just had this great conversation, and he's telling me,
cool.
You know what, don't we have these amazing jobs, Sean? And I'm thinking, well, Jim, I'm flying to Budapest to do MMA this weekend, and you're going to Augusta. So I'm going to say yours may be slightly better than mine, but I hear what you're saying, and, you know, I do agree.
Stop it. You're excited about Budapest and the MMA. So now we're down to about 60 seconds, but what's going on there?
A lot of people know I did it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I loved every minute of it. I had to give it up to spend more time with my son because the travel was crazy. They asked me to come back and do a show. Very quickly, there was a Spanish language announcer who was let go. They're not doing Spanish language broadcasts anymore. And as soon as they let him go, he had a very serious health issue and a pulmonary embolism named Manny Rodriguez. Mm. You can look it up. There's a You Caring page for him. And I thought this would be an opportunity. When he lost the job, he lost his insurance. And this would be a great opportunity to call attention to it and, donate some of my money to it and raise money. And, I can see all my old friends, go see Budapest for 28 hours in between Celtic games and raise some money for a great cause.
Wait, so how long is the flight?
It's probably you're probably talking the whole trip's probably about 13, 14 hours each way. I'll be there for about 28 hours. And then
so you're traveling for at least as long as you are in Budapest.
But I did that a lot for 2 years. I was, I think I made 8 trips to Amsterdam and never left the airport.
That's not funny. Not funny at all. I'm so sorry to laugh at that. Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to let you get. You're not even going to sleep, are you? That's just
not
a farce. You're not going to sleep. And you know when you get into your Uber on the way to the airport, the driver's going to be listening to my show.
You are huge among early morning Uber taxi drivers in Boston. I
love
can
it.
Vouch for that.
All right. Find him on Twitter at Sean Grandy PBP. Follow him all over the friggin' world as he travels and hops from continent to continent. You're the best. Love you. Talk to you soon.
You got it, my friend.
I mean, seriously, from San Antonio to Milwaukee to Toronto, back to Boston for a few hours, and he's now on his way to Budapest, where he'll be for 28 hours. But that's Sean. He's got a bigger heart than pretty much anyone I've ever met in this business, and he will do anything for the people that he cares about for a good cause. So good to talk to him for a little bit. Coming up next, we're going to dive into, I don't know, this cake probably. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.